Extreme Vocabulary is not your typical word of the day podcast. On Extreme Vocabulary, we don't just define words. We contextualize them in terms of their etymology, history, aesthetics, and politics. I'm here with Abe.
That is right. I am Abe.
I'm also here with Aaron.
Correcto mundo.
And Efren.
I would say hi, but I don't know if I have the right.
Today's
right,
word.
The right anything.
Right.
Right. Okay, so I just want to come clean here. I'm sure there's some more interesting stuff to learn about this word right, but really, I would just always thought it was weird, and this is why I recommended this word. I just thought it was weird that derecho means right, as in your right hand, but also correct, right? Or something like that? In Spanish.
I don't think it means correct.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, okay. But it means a political right.
Oh, political, like, right.
Two different.
Tu derecho is your lawful right to whatever.
Oh, that must be what I remembered.
Two definitions for two words that become one, the same word with multiple definitions in English.
And then multiple, yeah. I was just thinking, like, why did that meaning also translate across the languages? I guess it must have to do with some common root or something like that, or just so much culture crossover that can happen. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about that, Abe?
Probably not.
Okay.
But what you've done is really lay out some of the different meanings of the word itself, right? So, right. Right as an adjective means something like morally correct. Then there's a different adjective, which is right as in the opposite of left, right? And then there's the adverb, which means something like in a straight or direct manner.
Oh, do it the right way.
Yeah. Again, there is a noun form, which means, again, morally right, or like duty, obligation, law. And then there's this kind of cool one, you know, right as in a punch in the face, you know, like, oh, and he
right
gave
cross.
Him a right, you know?
Oh.
Usually it'd be a right cross or an uppercut, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so he gave him a right. So you're talking about a punch in the face.
He's throwing hard rights, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's cool about right is that it is a word that appears in many European languages in pretty much the same form, you know. So the Old English is Recht. And then I was talking with Aaron earlier about the German version of right.
Recht.
Yeah, Recht. Thank you for pronouncing that. You're my pronunciator. Is that a thing?
I'm Google Translate.
Okay, so yeah, so that word appears in all kinds of, you know, like Germanic, Anglo-Saxon type of languages. And the Old English, I already mentioned the Old English, but the Proto-Indo-European, and I hope people know what Proto-Indo-European is, or acronym PI.
I wouldn't mind a brief reminder.
I was hoping you would do that.
you share an office with Hold? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in the Proto-Indo-European language, but I can't figure out the specifics of it. It has to do with the Proto-Indo-European people, which I think they were like trans-continental. Would that make sense? No.
They're just supposed to be like the early ancestors of Europeans and the people who live in
India.
India. Or that like surrounding region, right?
Essentially,
so the Indochina.
The Middle region. East and Central Asia.
Yeah. Hmm. So, and in.
And also off the steppes. Yeah, yeah.
The steppes. Part of Central Asia.
Yeah. And Proto-Indo-European is, I would say it's just really a theoretical language, because we don't really like have any written words from it. But when you study how languages are related to one another, in other words, historical linguistics, when you study how languages are related to one another, what you find is that certain words come up in every single one of those languages without too much variation, and right is one of those.
Oh.
So that we could say we believe that the language of the Indo-Europeans, you know, from long ago, had this word in their language.
Mm.
And that's what Proto-Indo-European is. And
brought it to all the people.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, so like we inherited that, so that's come down.
I think I just figured out derecho too a little bit, because could that mean of? I know it's not supposed to, because it's like one word right there, but it does have rec.
Oh, of rec. The right?
You mean rec? Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, it could also be related to Latin dexterity, which is also related to
hand skillfulness, right?
But also to the idea of strength.
Hmm.
And that's the other thing, that the word right is kind of related to the idea of strength or power.
Oh, interesting.
So there's that.
Right is might, right? Or might is right, yeah.
Might is right.
And what they're talking about is your right hand.
Yeah.
As long as you're... Yeah.
Yeah, because most people are right-handed.
If you're right-handed, yeah.
Your right hand is stronger than your left.
If you're right-handed. And most... Yeah, that's a question I was going to ask. Does all of this come from the fact that the majority of people are right-handed? And have they always mostly been right-handed? Or is it something that we've evolved to? Like, we're most, like... Were most Neanderthals left-handed or something? I don't know.
From what I remember hearing before, I think Ned Flanders is the source of this.
Oh. Okay.
1 out of 10 people, or 1 out of 9 people, something like that. So it's, what would that be, 90 or 10%, or between 10 and 15%, let's say, of people in the world, the whole population is left-handed. So it's pretty slim margin.
That's actually a good chunk, though. I mean,
yeah, because we're so many million, right? Or billion, excuse me. Yeah. A billion in this world, so that is a sizable, what do you call it, a percentage, right?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of high for real. I think it's more like 2 out of 30. I'm just feeling like I always had like 1 or 2 kids in my classes that were left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I said life. That like 1 out of 10 is a pretty high number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like statistically speaking,
we should look. We should look at the statistics. Yeah. We have a Google machine here.
And before in school, they used to teach you, no matter what, they used to teach you to write with your right hand, right? Like they used to force you to be right-handed.
It messed up left-handed people. The left like screwed the
devil.
Them up. Like,
the left is the devil, right?
Yeah.
Left is the devil.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
What'd I tell you?
10%.
Apparently, according to this thing that came up on the internet, 10%.
Huh, okay. Well, then that's
a decision. I was right. Thank you.
Good job.
What about that? What about that? I am right. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
What it means is like, yeah, I'm the hand that can beat up the other hand.
I'm the strong hand here. Dominant. Yeah, it's a power play, right? Yeah, okay.
That is funny.
It's like high-handed.
It's like a bio word. It's like this word this concept that came out of our biology, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. The idea of political rights came in during the 17th century, so mid 17th century, and that's when people started talking about like the rights of man, and you know, you got Thomas Paine writing
the Declaration
about the rights of man, and it's all documents like the Declaration of Independence talking about rights. So that's when that pops up.
Excuse me, Phil, I was about to get right steamy up in here. Sorry.
Yeah, the audience can't see this, but Aaron has removed his shirt and has
vestiges.
a white tank top on, and you can prominently see his tattoo, which is a good one, but looks a little faded.
Oh, yeah, this one's like 2003, and which
arm is that on?
Right arm.
His right arm.
There you go.
And one more thing. So the idea of conservatism equals right or right politics, right? That comes in, and I think it's first recorded 1794, and it I think it originates in France. So the idea of the right conservative party. Mm. So those two words become equated at that time. So that's
Enlightenment France?
A little bit after.
So yeah. After the revolution.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah. Because that was pretty radical, that revolution. Not conservative, I would put it.
Oh, yeah. So many people died.
Yeah. Some that deserved it. Others that didn't, of course.
So was there any rationale behind why they chose to use the word right to mean conservative at that time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't read the document from which the example came from, so I couldn't tell you. But I do think it's interesting that it comes in, you know, after that.
It almost doesn't always matter if there's a clear rationale when something catches on like that. Mm-hmm. There might be a lot of neurological friction with that concept.
What I like, though, is things that rhyme and become true just because they rhyme. So you just said one, Aaron, right? You said...
Might is right.
Might is right.
It's catchy. Even if they're really not words of substance, as long as they rhyme, people just take to it.
It rhymes. It must be true.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So, I mean, okay, so I gave you all that info and see what you could do with it. Here's one more thing. So the phrase right on is actually a phrase, it's African-American vernacular coming from the 1920s and popularized by the Black Panthers.
Right on.
So right on, brother. So
with this too.
Yeah, with your lifted
raised
fist.
Raised fist, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really know how...
Why did anything happen?
We start getting from your right hand to the idea of politics.
And why did anything happen? Why does anything happen the way it does? Right?
That's what this episode is all about. We actually have no idea what the words are.
Yeah. And then alternatively, like left is everything associated with bad, right? Usually. Mm. You shake with your right hand.
You're not supposed to eat with your left hand in the Arab world.
Mm-hmm. I know Borges said that when something's evil, it's called the left hand of the night.
Making a left turn is the worst thing you could do in driving.
Unless you're
as
in England.
As opposed to a right hand
turn. Unless you're in England.
Those lefties.
Those crazy backward lefties, right? With their queen.
When you play guitar, though, you have to use your left hand a lot.
You have to use that way more than the right, huh? Yeah. Well, if you're right-handed, by the way.
Oh, interestingly, Paul McCartney right-handed but played his bass lefty style.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought he was left-handed, which is why he did it.
I thought he was left-handed too.
Mm. No, he's a weirdo.
Special. Is he ambidextrous?
Some people are like that.
Use both hands? Is that what he's got that talent?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
I play drums that way. I'm not a good drum player or anything, but, you know, most people cross their hands to play drums. I don't do that.
Oh.
I don't like this.
You should do like the military.
That's how I feel comfortable.
The military on drill corps, or your drum corps, like that. You should learn.
Yeah. Well, I will say this about guitar. Like, when you're first learning guitar, you're like, why do I have to do all this stuff with my left hand? It almost feels more natural if you were just learning, just to start doing it with your right hand because, you know, they're asking you to do all these things. Or you're required to do all these things. So I think if you just keep going that way, then you have an upside down guitar, you'll just learn to play it that way instead.
The other thing about playing guitar and being right-handed is that when you're first beginning, or at least this was my experience, you tend to overdo the strumming. You do heavy strumming all the time, right? There's too much power in this hand. How do you control that, you know?
Maybe that's why Paul, did the left. He was left, yeah. But it would be weird to strum with my left. I would take a lot of retraining.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But everybody can retrain.
You can't see this, but we're all air guitaring right now.
Right?
Well, is that what that is? Okay.
The kids are calling it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with our literature corner. Stick around. inside each week of Extreme Vocabulary. Wait. On each episode of Extreme Vocabulary, we find a piece of literature that uses today's word. Specifically, Efren finds it. So what do you have for us today, Efren?
Well, you know, a word like right is something, is a word that appears in many, many poems. It's not like a word that you would have trouble finding literature about. But for me, the challenge was finding a piece of literature that encompassed multiple meanings of the word. And I think the sort of thematics of this poem are about rights, perhaps, and then, but it contains the word right in a slightly different context than the sort of broader themes. So it'd be interesting to think about why the poet made this decision. And I'm ready to read whenever you are.
Who's the poet?
The poet is Taha Muhammad Ali. The poem is called Revenge.
All right, you guys ready?
Ready.
Revenge by Taha Muhammad Ali. At times, I wish I could meet in a duel the man who killed my father and raised our home, expelling me into a narrow country. And if he killed me, I'd rest at last. And if I were ready, I would take my revenge. But if it came to light when my rival appeared, that he had a mother waiting for him, or a father who'd put his right hand over the heart's place in his chest whenever his son was late, even by just a quarter hour for a meeting they'd set, then I would not kill him, even if I could. Likewise, I would not murder him if it were soon made clear that he had a brother or sisters who loved him and constantly longed to see him, or if he had a wife to greet him and children who couldn't bear his absence and whom his gifts would thrill, or if he had friends or companions, neighbors he knew, or allies from prison or a hospital room, or classmates from his school asking about him and sending him regards. But if he turned out to be on his own, cut off like a branch from a tree, without a mother or father, with neither a brother nor sister, wifeless, without a child, and without kin or neighbors or friends, colleagues or companions, then I'd add not a thing to his pain within that aloneness, nor the torment of death, and not the sorrow of passing away. Instead, I'd be content to ignore him when I passed him by on the street, as I convinced myself that paying him no attention in itself was a kind of revenge. It's Taha Muhammad Ali, a Palestinian poet. So I'll just repeat the part that says the right on it. Or if he had a father who'd put his right hand over the heart's place in his chest whenever his son was late. That's the feature of the word right.
Okay, so that's a very literal that's a literal use of the word right, or the adjectival form, right? What he's talking about is which hand it is. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other meanings what are some of the other ways that rights are a part of this poem?
I think the beginning of the poem evokes the Israeli occupation in Palestine. Hmm. So thematically, the poem is a sort of meditation on human rights. Hmm. In the context, in this case, of like, what does revenge mean, right? What does revenge mean in that context?
Well, yeah, because the poem starts off imagining real revenge, right? Like violence. Mm-hmm. And then as the narrator, the poet, continues on, he imagines that he couldn't exact revenge on someone who actually had friends or family or had like some kind of life going on, right?
But in this case, with that new information, because I didn't know he was a Palestinian poet writing about what they deal with. I'm seeing the man who killed my father as no longer. First, I think, okay, that's a, you know, the guy who replaced my father. Maybe I misheard it at the beginning. I thought it was like a stepfather kind of deal. But then now I'm seeing, okay, the man who replaced my father, that's, you know, a metaphor for the occupying power, right? The right, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he takes it a step further, right? I mean, so he imagines that he can't pay revenge on someone who actually had family or friends, who's part of society.
Right, when they're when they become human, and you stop dehumanizing them, yeah.
But then he also couldn't exact revenge if the person was, you know, a loner, right? Who had, like, no family, friends, no society, because that in itself is just terrible. So that he kind of, like,
it's empty.
Imagines himself unable to give any kind of revenge at all. Yeah, except maybe it's ignoring the person.
It's like working out
Yeah, which is something you would just kind of automatically do.
Well, not so much ignoring them, just letting go, right? You kind of have to if you, you know, there's like, I can't get my revenge. I'm just going to sit here and stew about it and, you know, let it affect me, or I can move on, right?
Yeah.
It's not easy to move on, of course, and that's why we write things like this, catharsis.
I think sometimes we think of revenge as a right, or that's at least how society works, right? That you killed my
father. Vast majority of people will not argue with that at all.
And my right is
eye for an eye, biblical.
To punish you for that, right? Or to have the government punish you for what you did to me.
Right.
But this person kind of like argues themselves out of that right.
He's expressing the anger and he's recognizing the futility maybe of the desire for revenge.
He
in a way the poem's saying like, I cannot do to you what you did to me because I have this humanity that I'm thinking about as I act, whereas perhaps was not given to me, right? So that's in some way a really strong call for human rights by humanizing oneself, right? In that way, like one is incapable. The narrator here and speaker is incapable of revenge when they think through their actions, and then the poem is them thinking through the actions.
He's showing us the right way to go about it.
Yeah,
go about perhaps dealing with such trauma. Well, you know, right is incorrect is subjective to some, but yeah, what's right to one is not necessarily right to another.
So now I guess we could ask the question, the significance of the right hand being used to what it like rips out his heart or something.
Just does this, like when his son's late, he does this.
Yeah.
And he's not pledging to the flag, right? So he's, what is it? It's
he puts grief. It over his own hand.
His own heart. A little bit of grief. Just like
pain. Worry, grief. Worry.
Love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love.
I also heard that like your heart is a little bit on your left side. So using your right hand will cover your heart more, something like that.
Yeah, I think most salutes, right, are patriotic salutes are done with your right hand.
Or even just greetings. Like in India, you greet somebody. Well, actually, if you're right-handed, you would stick out your right if you shake hands. But some people don't do that. But you could. And then you would do this move right here. But you have to use your left unless you're left-handed. And you would go like this. And then most people would be like, why are you giving me your left hand? And then they do this move.
It's so like an insult to shake someone's hand with your left hand in some cultures, right?
Yeah.
It's like an insult.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, today it's like, but most people just kind of know, like, don't stick your left hand out. You freak people out. They don't know what to do.
I insulted Abe this morning, actually, because I was holding something in my right hand. Remember?
No, I don't. I remember shaking a left-handed person's hand, obviously.
Did you stick out your left?
It was a younger person, and I had put out my right hand, and they put out their left, and I said, oh, a left-handed person, so I switched hands. But I just, what I thought about him wasn't that he was rude, but that
you were amused.
He's asserting, you know, like the way he lives, you know, like his world or something like that.
Or maybe he just was on instinct and just, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
But have you seen that before where some people, they give the left, or like, I've seen this before because somebody has like bandaged or cast on their arm and they can't move it. And so they stick out their left and the other person's like, oh, yeah, of course. And then, but instead of getting the left, they'll do this like upside down.
Yeah, they twist their arm, right?
It's so like, why would you contort yourself like that when you can just stick out your left hand?
Because you should try, how do you high five yourself? I don't know.
We'll twist ourselves into knots to be right.
To be right, yeah, we will do that.
To conform.
The audience can't see this, but we're all shaking our own hands.
We're contorting ourselves, too.
Yeah.
You know the name Benjamin means child of my right hand?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where?
Benjamin?
Yeah, Benjamin.
So that's not a Proto-Indo-European word, then?
It's... Is Hebrew part of Proto-Indo-European?
Maybe it's the one thing that's not.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's part of a Semitic, a whole different like group of languages, right? Semitic.
Which is a regional kind of thing, right? Semitic languages. There's a root to Arabic, to Hebrew, to...
Yeah, Arabic and Aramaic and Hebrew and all of those are related and they have their own like origin that's different from Proto-Indo-European and all, I think. But yeah, I know that because it comes from a Bible story where Jacob's wife is having a child and she's dying in her birth, and she decides to name the child Benoni, which means like child of my pain or child of my suffering. Mm-hmm. And she dies, and then the father says like, I can't name him.
It's
like a reminder of his dead wife, you know, so he decides to name him.
Why wouldn't he go a completely different name and he just goes like, oh, I'll go to the closest name to what she was intending? He's kind of like hedging, I guess, right?
Yeah. But here's the other thing, right? So again, sorry about all the Bible stuff, but like, so in the Bible, like, Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father.
Right. And, you know, there's the...
Which is a position of power.
Yeah, there's the term, my right-hand man, the person you rely on and loyal the most, usually your most loyal, right? Subject, servant, whatever.
Just more mysteries, dude. Because wouldn't you want the strongest person on your left hand? Because you need to fight.
Like a shield, fight, right?
With your right hand, you know?
I need my meat shield on the left. And my spear on the right.
You're terrible.
No, I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking like just a lanky beanpole kind of figure.
Things are getting only worse from here. All right, so we'll be right back with our song of the song.
I blame the heat.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
On every place.
In extreme vocabulary, we choose a song that uses today's word. There's a lot of songs I could think of off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah.
For your right to party. Party for your right to fight. Stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Wait, what is that song?
That's Bob Marley.
Yeah, but what's it called? Get up?
Stand up for... isn't it stand up?
It's called Stand Up.
It's Get Up, Stand Up. Isn't it called Get Up, Stand Up?
Yeah, it's just called Get Up, Stand Up. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Still, the word right features prominently.
Right Here, Right Now. What's that called again, that song?
Oh, Richard Marx.
We kind of didn't talk about that definition of right, where it was like the exact or the precision of something.
Yeah.
Oh, the right amount, yeah.
I think that just means correct.
Yeah, correct.
Well, it's also subjective because the right amount for me is not the right amount for you. Maybe.
But, there's nothing correct about now, necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's like, it's just like the right now, right on.
Oh, what about like, I socked him right in the nose? That's also right.
That's also like the directional precision. The precision thing we talked about.
It would be cool to say, like, I socked him correctly in the nose.
He was a right wanker, so I hit him right in the nose. Yeah, there we go.
So those are good options. Did you guys think of any others?
That song, right, right here, right now, not the one by Mark. So that's
Van Halen.
No. Oh yeah, that is.
Oh, Van Halen or
right now? Well, but Sammy Hagar, Van Halen. Yeah.
No, I thought like right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
You must be incredible.
Oh, that was Richard good. Marks.
I like that one.
That is Richard Marks. I'm pretty sure.
No.
There is no other place I want. I don't know who sings this.
It's like by an Eastern European band that was singing it after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Right, that's what the song was about.
Oh, was it? Was it?
What?
Yeah, I'm serious.
It sounds so awesome.
Oh, that. Was it Europe? The final countdown?
No.
They're like Asia.
That's Asia. Yeah. Oh, that's a different one.
This wall sucked. Let's sing this song in English.
I think that's what it was. It was like a band. Yeah.
That's cool.
Is that something to be concerned about? Oh!
Oh my gosh!
We got to do that one now.
The right stuff.
We got to do it.
by the new kids in the block.
Because you know nobody talks about them anymore. Yeah.
Well,
we got to, I know, but we got to bring it back more. We got to introduce the millennials that don't listen to this too. We got to introduce them to new kids on the block.
Featuring Donnie Wahlberg, right?
Danny Wahlberg.
No, it was it was Donnie Wahlberg, and then Mark Wahlberg's brother. Yeah. I don't know who's the older
Mark one. Mark Wahlberg was Marky Mark. I think that's the younger brother.
He's the younger one, and then Donnie's the older one. Yeah.
You got the right.
And they're both actors, baby. Of course.
Uh huh. Diet Pepsi. That was a good one.
Oh, that was and then remember the Super, I don't know if it was Super Bowl, but it became their commercial for a while. Yeah, it was like Ray Charles and like every other celebrity, Bo Jackson, right? They're all like, you got the right stuff.
Yeah. Close.
And then they had Charo, just like, she didn't even say it. She was just singing whatever the hell she was singing in Spanish. Charo. Are we done or no?
I think we're going to go with New Kids on the Block just because we got to pay Donnie's way through college. So we'll help him out. And Donnie, we'll help you out.
Donnie hasn't been in college for 30 years, maybe.
He probably never went. We're going to help you out next month, dear listener, on our next episode of Extreme Vocabulary. But before we go, please check out the Nostalgic Swell Hour.
Well, thank you for that extra plug.
Aaron?
Yeah, the Nostalgic Swell Hour is a haphazard podcast. Unfortunately, I host it, but you could do worse, I think.
It's a great show.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. It is for definitely an audience that appreciates antiques.
Yeah. I was going to say...
Antiquated.
Antiquated humor, antiquated shenanigans.
It's the most mothball smelling podcast out there. Defending Communism with Efren. Check that out.
Even better than Nostalgic Swell Hour. Slightly.
Well,
it's different.
It is very different, yeah.
And one of them's a lot
I was trying to put you over, man, and you just like...
One of them's a lot more right wing than the other.
Ooh.
Try to figure out which one.
Me too.
Don't make those claims. Like, we're not right wing over there.
Check out Abraham at his house. Sometimes he leaves the curtains open.
Only from 3 to 4.
From 3 to 4.
Only that.
The show starts.
That's when I open the blind and just stare out the window for a little bit.
Also, we'll be publishing Abraham's notes on the website extremevocabulary.blogspot.com. Go there to check out some of the research that was done.
And send us a question.
Oh, yeah. Send us
anything you want. It could be about us. Questions. It could be about the words we use. It could be about things that we got wrong, which I know we have.
Suggest a word.
Please suggest a word make your own definition of one of our words by tweeting us at Extreme Vocab or...
Sorry. I just wanted to say we're right about everything.
We're right about this.
Yeah.
Or emailing us at extremevocabulary@gmail.com. You can also check out our Instagram because vocabulary is all about the image, you know?
And we have a resident photographer here.
That's Extreme Vocab, right?
Extreme Vocab on Instagram.
Nice. Well, it's been really nice having you guys over. I think I'm going to go... do the laundry now.
Hey, I was promised a gallon of old fashioned, okay?
Oh, that's right. Well, if you pass out on the floor, that'll be no problem for me.
I'll just throw me with the laundry. It's okay.
I would love to do that.
Esto ha sido.
I'd love to get in there with you.
Vocabulario extremo con Joshua Adachi.
Hi.
Efren
Yes.
Aaron.
Oh, pensé que va, I thought you were going to use his last name. I was like, why am I trying this?
Efren Lopez. Aaron.
Don't even try.
Gebharte.
That sounds old English.
Abraham.
Gift of the heart in German, if you go back far enough.
Nice.
Por supuesto. Por ejemplo. Por su vida.
Ooh. Por bueno.
See you next time. Baby.